So welcome to 318 Live, the city's young adult ministry. Now let's talk about this. This is a progressive series. Now what that means is each week we're going to build into the previous week. And whenever I was writing this out, I just thought every week it's going to get just a little more sexy. You know what I'm saying? Just going to get a little sexier each week. So you don't want to miss a week of this. Tonight we're going to be talking about our hearts. We're going to start the sexy a little mild sexy. And then we're going to finish out the series with overcoming sexual addiction. And we're going to cover everything in between. So it's going to get real good. So throughout this series, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about sex and sex-related stuff. And I just wanted to go ahead and answer a question that, if it hasn't already crossed your mind, at some point this question is going to cross your mind. Am I a virgin? So I want you to check out this picture of me from high school, and I'll let you guess if I'm a virgin. Yeah, that's what kept me pure through high school. And then Jesus kept me pure in college. So I am a virgin, but I want to talk to you about this, that there is absolutely no condemnation. That I don't care if you've had sex every day since you were in the seventh grade. You're welcome here. I talk to guys all the time, sex addiction. I talk to people all the time. They're in unhealthy relationships. That's okay. That's okay, because you're going to come to a place in your walk with Christ when he's going to deliver you from that. He's going to lead you out of that. And so I want you to know, if Jesus' best friends were prostitutes and tax collectors, then I want all of my best friends to be adulterers and people who get really lucky at the casino and want to pay their tithes to me. That's not true. But if it is true, you know what I'm saying? So the name of the series is Blurred Lines. Each week we're going to be talking through a different blurred line in our culture. And so, you know, a lot of pastors, they get up here and they're like, you know, let's go back and really, like, look at this word in the Greek, see what the original text meant. I'm not like that. I looked up blurred lines on Urban Dictionary. And so I just wanted to let you know what Urban Dictionary defined blurred lines as. It says, these lines are personal boundaries that a person designates as his or her sexual life. They usually only appear blurred to men who don't comprehend the meaning of no. Can all the ladies say amen? All right, that's a little overzealous. I know who to pray for. I'm just playing. I'm just praying. I'm out. That's a joke. That's a joke. Each week we're going to be talking about something different that has been skewed and blurred. Tonight we're talking about protection. Could you say protection with me? So if you're taking notes, you're going to heaven. But you can also label this talk as blurred protection. And we're going to be talking through true protection. You see, culture has taught us that protection is wearing a condom when you have sex. But the Bible teaches us that protection is guarding your heart. And so we're going to talk through true protection tonight and see how God's word defines it. If you have your Bibles, you can open it to Proverbs 4:20. Like I said, if you're taking notes, you're going to heaven. If you have a Bible, that's bonus points, more crowns on the jewel, more jewels on the crown. More crowns. Sounds like a drinking reference. I'm just joking, y'all. I'm a pastor. I don't know what Crown Royal is. But I am a child of God. Get it? Royalty? That's good. Anyways, you should have enough time to get to Proverbs 4:20. We're going to be reading 7 verses of Scripture. Proverbs is a beautiful place to start reading the Bible if you've never done it before. So let's follow along. Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20. It says, my child, pay attention to what I have to say and listen carefully to my words. That usually means that what they're saying next is really important. It says, don't look side of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you and mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So I had this question. What is it that in your life you just guard so dearly? You know, you just got that. Maybe it's that one item that you're like, whoa, just don't touch that, please. You know, like my friend Bennett, he's got a holographic Charizard. And that's like his thing, that like whenever you come into his room, he's like, hey, welcome to my house. That's my holographic Charizard card. Don't touch it, I'll kill you. Welcome. I hope you feel good here. And so I recently just got this item because I might have had one in my life but forgot about it. My car has broke. My car. For those of you who know me, you know that I've driven a Prius for 7 years. And if you follow Trey Freeman LSU on Twitter, then you'll know that last weekend I said I feel like I was driving birth control for 7 years. It's like, it was real safe all through college. I'm like, you want to hook up? And they're like, really, we're in a Prius. I'm like, I'll drop you off. This is awkward. I'm just joking. That conversation rarely took place. Just playing. All right. But now, see, I bought a new car because my Prius broke. It's like, it's toast. That sucker's done. Like, as I was trying to play it hot whenever I was going to the new dealership. Because, like, my hybrid battery was going down, and so, like, I didn't want to let them know that I was trading in a broken car for a car that worked, and so, like, I literally, like, coasted into the dealership and was like, Jesus, if you just get me straight to the dealership, I promise I'll get a car, and so I shopped around really hard. I prayed about it. I sought God. I think he gave me favor because I got a used Lexus IS250 that was cheaper than my Prius. So come at me if you want to judge me for being a pastor and driving a nice car, because I don't care, because it was actually better economically, except for the gas mileage, which I still haven't got over yet, but I'm getting used to it. So I got this new Lexus, and that's kind of my item now. You know, the thing of the week that I like to guard real safely, like, you know, people sitting in my leather seats, I'm like, son, take off your keys. You know, you're scratching my leather. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were driving down to Baton Rouge the other day, and it had just rained in Alexandria, and this 18-wheeler was, like, putting off some spray, and I'm like, buddy, I just got my car washed, you know? You want to not run through these puddles? You get my car all dirty. I'm supposed to impress people down in Baton Rouge. Or the other week, it was the first day I got my car. I'm driving down I-20. Guess what I find? Every car owner's nightmare. It's one of them stupid rock trucks. And it's like, ba-boom, ba-boom. Rocks flying out the back. I'm literally going James Bond on these rocks. I'm like, swerve! I'm getting upset. I'm getting mad. I'm going 45 in the interstate, like, and cars are passing me. And I'm like, you're an idiot. Don't you see that these throwing rocks? I was like, God, you're testing me, aren't you? Like, you're testing me. If I get a rock to the window, I will still love you. You know, I'll still proclaim you as Savior. It's just going to be a little more hard, you know? I just have to be real with y'all. But that's my item now. I'm like, easy. Easy with my car. Easy. I guard it. I protect it. There's some things that I don't protect. Like, I can count on one hand. I'm lying. I can't ever count an occasion that I went out in the middle of the night and made sure, like, my trash was still up at the curb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never just woke up and, like, oh, my gosh, the trash can. You know, and, like, got up and, like, went outside to check and to open up to make sure the trash was still in the can. You know what I'm saying? Because it just ain't that important to me. Not once will I ever go to my trash receptacle and be like, woo, thank God. My Lego Eggo waffle box is still in there. I don't care. I don't care at all. In fact, if someone was to steal my trash, I might would pay them. Why? Because you only guard what's important to you. You don't guard junk that ain't important to you. You only guard what's important to you. And I want to take it back to verse 23. This is what it says, 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else. You know, I look through the Bible, and there's not just too many times in the Bible that it says above all else. Above all else, above all. They don't flippantly throw around that phrase whenever they wrote the Bible, because there's some things that are priority and there's some things that are secondary and you work your way down. But the writer decided that this was a top priority issue. He said, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. That's the NLT. There's another translation that says this. I think it's the NKJV. That's the New King James Version for you who are new to church. I almost missed it, though. It says, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the issues of life. The issues of life. And so as I look at that, I started to think, man, issues of life. Like, some of us have issues, and it's just funny that we can relate it to what is actually being guarded in our hearts, guarded about our lives, and we only guard what's important to us. And whenever you don't guard your heart, essentially what you're saying is your heart isn't very important to you. And you've got to know this, that the enemy will wreck what you don't protect. If there's something in your life that you don't protect, expect it to be wrecked. And I think that for many of us, we have flippantly entered into relationships. We have flippantly entered in to sexual encounters, to whatever it may be. And like I said, there's no condemnation, because Lord knows ain't no one in here want to die a virgin, right? Anyone? Any hands? Cool. No one wants to die a virgin. We're all in the same. I saw one hand in the back. Let's just lay hands on this right now. Why don't you come here? We're going to pray for you. I'm just joking. I'll Snapchat you later. Well, I don't have Snapchat. I'm lying. I really do have Snapchat. Add me. No, I'm just joking. Don't. That would be weird. The Bible says this. It says, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the issues of life. And this kind of ties into what we talked about last week. You remember, we said, whatever lives in you determines what is produced through you. Whatever is produced in your life is a result of what you put in your life. And so I just want to take this scripture and just tear it apart real quick. And it's not going to be long tonight, but I've told you once, I've told you again, I'll tell you before, whatever. I look at a scripture almost like a math problem. And this is what it says. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And you know those problems in school that you had to, like, work backwards? Whenever I walked into math class one day and they're like, today we're learning how to work backwards. I'm like, swerve, I don't even know how to work forwards. Like, calm down. But it kind of makes sense now, because that's what I'm going to do on this verse. This is one of these work backwards numbers. It says, for it determines the course of your life. See, or it determines the issues of your life. If I was to have a gigantic blackboard up here in a one-on-one session with each of you where you were 100% vulnerable and honest with me, I would be like, what are the issues of your life? And you're like, well, I struggle with anger. So we'd write that down. I struggle with pornography. I struggle with sleeping with my girlfriend. Homosexuality, whatever. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, all sin is sin. All sexual sin is sexual sin. If you struggle with homosexuality, that's no different than pornography. Look at them different. I dare you to, because Jesus didn't. Okay, so we have anger and all these sexual sins, and we have greed, and we have pride, and we have all these things. We have all these issues in our life. Like, I don't know why, but I'm just like, I've got these issues. And the thing is, we see physical issues wrong with us, exceptionally so in our sexuality, because sexuality is very much a physical issue. So we know this, that if we're always returning to pornography, that is the issue in our life. If we're always turning to a relationship, that's an issue in our life. It doesn't matter what it is if you don't know the root of it. Because what we like to do, and this is cool, we like to fight physical battles with physical fights. So what we say is, okay, well, I'm addicted to pornography, so I'm getting rid of my computer. You realize that in that instance, you only took care of a symptom, not the source and not the problem. So if it's a relationship, which it's wise not to sleep with your computer in your room if that's your problem. If it's a relationship where you're having sex with someone, I highly recommend you break up, but that's not going to change your heart. I mean, you're going to have a broken heart, and it's going to suck. But there are still sexual seeds that were planted in your life. If it's homosexuality and you decide you're not going to gay bars anymore, that's only a physical fight for a physical battle. And what you will know, because many of you guys, every single one of us who cares about our walk with Christ, have tried to fight these physical battles, and we have lost. So what you did is you convinced yourself, swerve, Satan convinced you that that's just life, that that's just how you are, that that's just how you're grown up. And I'm here to say that that's not how you are. That's not how God designed you. And because of your, and I mean this in a nice way, but because of the ignorance of the church not teaching people how to appropriately fight spiritual battles, you are losing, and your identity is now wrapped up in your issue. But I want to turn you to Scripture and assure you that physical battles can, I mean, physical issues cannot be won with physical battles only. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 4 says this. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So you have these bondages in your life that are, spiritually speaking, fortresses that have set up camp. And Paul is writing in the Corinthians that we don't battle war against flesh and blood because we are spiritual beings. Let me enlighten you on something. You might want to write this down, that the physical issues you deal with were first spiritual issues that were unanswered. They were first spiritual issues that you let loose. And so this is what we see. We see, guard your heart above all else, for from it flow the issues of life. And so guarding your heart, even though it has personification attached to it, it's actually a spiritual issue. And then above all else, I mean, for it determines the course of your life, is a physical issue. Because you see the course of your life, you don't see your heart. So Proverbs 4:23, instead of being a powerful, useful scripture of overcoming sin and temptation, is now actually just something that you girls doodle on your notebook because you think it's cool that you're going to fall in love one day. You know what I'm saying? Like Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else. And then you're like, all else. And then you like underline heart and you draw a heart over it. Or maybe you just, no, I'm going to take away heart. I'm just going to put a heart. That's cute. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And we're like, we're going to get married. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to get married. And that's what we have. Taking the scripture down to that 4:23, cool, guard your heart. That's really cute because you look at it like this. Well, my heart isn't physical, so how do I guard it? And since my heart technically is physical, even though in the scripture it's not a physical heart, unless, you know, they went Mortal Kombat and like pulled out your heart. If that's anywhere in the scripture, and it could be, I just don't know my Bible that well. That would be a physical heart. But all these other scriptures, it's a spiritual heart. And so what happens is because you only know of your spiritual heart, your physical heart, you just think it's guarded. You just assume that your heart is guarded. When in the scripture, it's like, no. This is a top priority issue. You've got to guard your heart, for if you don't, the issues will follow suit. And so the Bible says that we, even though we walk in the flesh, we war in the spirit. And so the only way to overcome all of the issues in column B is to spiritually fight all of the issues in column A. Now, it's always good to have the physical protection. So it's good not to sleep with your computer. It's good to break up with the relationship. And it's good not to go to the gay bars. But it's not enough because you're fighting a spiritual battle. And in week 4, we're going to talk about very specific prayer instruction that will lead you into deliverance. But tonight we're going to talk about it in a more general facet. And I'm about to actually land the plane. We're going to talk about it in more of a general facet, which is the smarts of being wise with the physical protection, but also the bigger issue at hand, which is just giving your heart to Jesus. Because you see this, that if God fully has all of your heart, then you will be producing the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. And if you were to compare your life of saying, how much fruit of the Spirit do I have versus how much fruit of the flesh do I have, you would probably see that you have more fruit of the flesh, which is to say that your heart actually isn't consumed by Christ. And the reason it's not consumed by Christ is because you haven't been intentional about giving it to him. Remember, this is not religion. This is not rules-based. It is relational-based. If whenever I get married, if I come home, break out my marriage handbook, and say, buy flowers for the wife on Tuesday and cook dinner on Wednesday, have sex on Thursday, and then repeat, go to church on Sunday, you know, whatever. If it's that repetitive, if it's that mundane, that relationship sucks. Kind of boring. Cute that you got her flowers. Glad you got some. But it's really stale. You know what I'm saying? It's a really stale relationship. Relationships are kind of like random. Like, I don't know what was going to happen here. You know, like, I mean, like, man, you know, the randomness is what makes relationships like sexy. Like, man, you know what I'm saying? But if there's the handbook, it's stale. Your marriage is going to fail. It's going to break down. It's just stale. But whenever it's like, I swear if you didn't see that. You didn't see that coming because that's not in the rule book. You know I was going to do that because it ain't written down nowhere. That's whenever relationships are like, all right, I see you. And your relationship with Christ is the same way. If you come to church every Sunday and Wednesday and don't have sex before marriage and read one chapter of your Bible every night before you go to sleep, that's stale, y'all. I'm a pastor. I don't read my Bible every day, but when I do read it, I binge read. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, it was Tuesday. I forgot to read my Bible, but I said a prayer as I was falling asleep. The religious people get all mad, like, oh, that's real cute. You're going to pray right before you go to sleep? Like, how cool you think God feels? Let me tell you this. Whenever you're a mother or a father one day, and you're tucking in your four-year-old, and they're talking to you right before they go to sleep, and then they're saying something, they're just out, you look at them and you're like, oh, you're cute. That was cute. I like that. God looks at you the same way, like, man, he was thinking about me right before I went to bed. I mean, let me just go ahead and encourage this. That shouldn't be the only time you think about God. But let me tell you this, that your relationship with God should look sexy. And sexy is sporadic. And I don't mean you show up to church once every other month. You know what I'm saying? Get yourself in a church. Get you a good old reading Bible, NLT. That's the Lord's translation. We talked about that. And start talking to God. And I promise you that the relationship will develop and will become something beautiful. And whenever Christ has more of your heart, just more and more of your heart, your issues start to dwindle down. And I'm only talking from personal experience. Like, I know I've only read like two pieces of scripture that could have been ambiguously glued together. But I tell you what I'm not making up, and that's my personal experience and my relationship with Christ. And so I know that if I have overcome through these means, that you can overcome through very similar means. Thank you. I do, regularly. I want to close down with this story. Ooh, gets me excited. Band, you guys can come back up here. See, I like to underline some stories in the Bible because it makes me feel like a real preacher. There's my stuff. All right. All right. Let's talk about this. Some of you guys, your sexual sin, like the sexual sin that you're dealing with, which I'm telling you, it's okay, I still love you if you're dealing with sexual sin because it attacks us all. It's a giant in your life that you don't really talk about and that has been ruling your life for a long time. And I want to parallel this passage of scripture for you as we close. It's the story of David and Goliath. And before you tune me out because you know the story, why don't you just go ahead and listen in because you don't know my message. We all know David, Goliath is like taunting everyone. They've been there for days. They've been there for a long time. Goliath comes out every day. Who wants to come at me? You know, looks like one of them big old dudes up in the gym that I punch. I'm just joking. I don't go to the gym to punch guys. Swerve. I'm sorry, I've been saying that a lot too. This is what happened. David was a man after God's own heart. So I think what better way to learn about guarding your heart than to hear a story from the man who is known as the man after God's own heart. It says this. It says, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Remember, he's a little shrimp guy. Saul replied, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted, "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats, and when a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb," metaphorically speaking, the Lamb of God in your heart. Just saw that. "I go at him with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. And if the animal turns on me, I catch him by the jaw and club him to death." Golly. Let me just go ahead and say this real quick. Some of you guys just need a little anger at what Satan is controlling in your life. Because this giant was walking around this valley and he's like, "Come at me. You can't get me." And that's how you feel about your sin in your life. Your sin taunts you because you try to overcome it and you can't. You just can't do it. "Come at me." And then you get real brave and you say in your head, "You know what? I'm going to beat this. I'm going to beat this." And what happens? The guys on your side, just like Saul said to David, he said, "You're ridiculous. You can't win. You're too young. You're too little. You made this mistake last week. You did this. You can never win." And Saul said, "You know what?" I mean, David said, "You know what?" And he started to get a little angry, I think. I think he got passionate. And he's like, "No, I tell you what. Whenever I'm doing my sheep business and one of these lions comes to steal a lamb, I grab him by the throat and club him. What you think of that?" Can I tell you that some of you guys need to be like that in your spiritual walk? Because you got to know this, that I'm a single 25-year-old guy, and you got to be ridiculous if you don't think that I struggle with sexual temptation. That's just real. You can touch your neighbor and say, "You struggle with sex right now." Bro, some of you guys didn't do it because you're like, "That's awkward." That's okay. That's okay. You didn't have to do it. Maybe you're new to church. That's fine. I'm just being real. I'm telling you the truth. And so me and Trey, we were talking the other day, and I said, "Man, you know what happened?" Because this is what happens. If you are walking in a sexual sin, that is a spirit that lives inside of your heart that takes the place of God. And with my job, I can't really afford to be like looking at porn and stuff because I got to preach. You know what I'm saying? Because if you think I can look at porn and preach the same way, you're wrong. Not to say that if I ever tank it one Monday that, "Man, Daniel's looking at porn." No, but no, that Trey said it like this. Trey said, second to God, sex is the strongest force in the world. And I think we could all agree to that. Now, don't you think that Satan is real irritated that we devoted an entire month to stomping out his greatest weapon, his baby? I said it like this in pre-service. Satan's got two babies. He's got sex and money. And whenever you touch one of his babies, he gets mad. So the truth is that I've been attacked sexually. Like, you know, Daniel, whatever. What was I saying? Look at porn, whatever. I'm going to say I masturbate a lot in this series, so be ready. Because they never talked about it whenever I was growing up. So I'm going to talk about it a lot. So this is what happened. I was talking to Trey, and I said, "You know what? I got like, we call them attacks. It's like, man, I got attacked. That's like, man, I'm doing my thing. I'm fine. I'm chilling. And then all of a sudden, like, and I'm like, ah! Like I'm having a purity crisis meltdown. Like, am I okay? Like, all this stuff. And I said that, I was talking to Trey last week, and I was like, "Bro, man, I just got attacked the other night." And you know what? Whenever I realized it was an attack, I was like, "Oh, no! You will not get me." And I started getting like mad, like angry, like, "You will not have victory in this area of my life. My purity is God's. My purity is Christ. And it's where my power lies. And there's too many lost people up in this city who needs me to be preaching my A game through the power of Christ that lives inside of me that I would stifle if I was walking in sexual sin." So I want to finish this story. Some of you guys just need to get passionate and angry about your purity. So this is what happened. Goliath walks out towards David with his shield bearer in front of him, sneering in his contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. He said, "Am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks?" He cursed David by the name of his gods. He said, "Come over here and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. And today the Lord will conquer you and will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, so that everyone will know God is Lord." This is what's funny. Is Goliath, all of column B, all of your sexual sin. Goliath looks at David, who's coming to fight the battle with this slingshot and a staff. He looks at him, and he did the same thing that your sin does to you. "Whoa, you're going to try to not masturbate again. Cool. How long is that going to last? Cool, you and your girlfriend promised that you weren't going to sleep together anymore. We'll see how long that lasts." You know, just looks at you like you can't do this. And so Goliath starts taunting David because he's got these little weapons. And David says, "I'm not fighting with these physical weapons," even though he does overcome them with the physical weapons, which is something you need to remember. He's like, "I'm coming at you with the Lord of heaven's armies, and we're going to destroy you and feed you to the birds." You see, David knew something because he was a man after God's own heart, and it was this. It was, if I'm going to have physical victory, I've got to fight spiritually. And he said, "Now look, I know I can't take you, but the God inside of me can." And some of you guys need to know tonight that if you give your heart to the Lord, if you surrender your all to him, if you put up the physical protection and all that good stuff, do that. I highly recommend it. But if you're not fighting spiritually, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. So tonight, I just want to make this real clear. Like, Brandon read off the stats last year, and I'm sure they ain't got no better in 2013, moving into 2014. Most everyone in here isn't a virgin. We're hitting 90th percentile plus, not a virgin. There's a good chance that everyone on your row isn't a virgin. That's just the reality. Why? Because Satan has won these sexual battles. He really just has. There's a good chance that the person sitting next to you, don't let this get awkward, but the person sitting next to you can't stop masturbating. There's a chance that maybe the person in your section is dealing with homosexuality. Odds are, most people in this room are struggling sexually. And can we just get that out in the open, that we were created sexual beings, and Satan has distorted those desires in our heart, and it has driven us into sex addicts, rather than enjoying sex the way that God created it. So tonight, I don't care. I mean, I do. I don't care if, you know, you're like, "Oh my gosh, I don't want anyone to know." Because we're going to just pretend. We're going to pretend everyone's struggling. We're going to use our imaginations. We're going to pretend that everyone's struggling. Because now there's no embarrassment, because we're all pretending. We're all pretending that we struggle sexually, which isn't even that big of a deal, because that's Satan's biggest weapon. And together, we're going to give our hearts to the Lord. We're going to say, "Lord God, would you take my heart? Would you take my heart? Would you rip out those things I've got living in there that's causing me to do all these bad things that I don't really enjoy, if I'm being honest, momentary pleasures. If you'll give your heart to the Lord, He will do this spiritual fighting. But then you will be tested in a physical manner. I have overcome, fallen. And right now I'm overcoming, so that's good. Glory. But I'm telling you this, that there is a pattern that I've learned that I'm going to share with you. Whenever you give your heart to the Lord and you ask that He would deliver you of all these sexual bondages, He actually does do the spiritual work. But just to test the manner of your heart's desires and not what He controls, not the spiritual side, but the neutral side, He will allow you to be tempted 2, if not 3, really hard times. And after you overcome those 2 or 3 at most that I found in my life, after you overcome those and resist the temptation to fall sexually, then it gets easy. And it's like, you know what? It's been a month and I haven't thought about masturbating in forever. I don't know why. Well, it's because the Lord did that spiritual work and the physical nature fell away. But the first thing that the enemy is going to convince you of after this spiritual work is done is that it was never done. And once you agree to turn back sexually again, then you're in bondage again. Okay? So it takes the spiritual side of God ripping you away from those things. And then it takes your physical side of saying, you know what? I am pure. And I'm not telling you this scripturally. I'm telling you from my own life that you can live purely and you can walk in victory. And so why don't we stand up?